We now ask the expert.
Best in the business.
You too can ask questions and receive your answer confidentially, or we'll feature your question on the air. Go to ddsradio.com.
Thank you very much for hanging in there. I want to introduce to you my good friend, Angela Ward. Angela, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Randy. Nice to be with you today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Angela is a dental consultant out of Austin, Texas. And Angela works from coast to coast with dental offices, my own included. And what she has a number of areas of expertise, don't you?
I think so.
She has lots of hats. When she comes to visit, there's a large suitcase with many, many hats in it. Some of the hats that she wears is she goes into a dental practice and helps them create systems that allow dental offices to treat customers, treat patients with the greatest amount of customer service, with the highest level of efficiency, with a level of service that it really isn't matched anywhere else. So she helps your front office treat you well. She helps create insurance systems that treat the patient well. She helps create systems that where the patient doesn't have to sit in the reception room or in a chair for 30 minutes before they're seen. She helps offices really learn how to deliver ultra high quality dentistry. One of the other things she does, though, is that she helps offices understand and figure out about dental insurance. And you are going to tell us why dental insurance is not the patient's friend, contrary to everything we've been told. Go.
Okay, very good. Well, dental insurance is actually very different than what a medical insurance policy is. Many of our clients and patients have experienced having dental insurance as a compensation package with their employer. And so very many times, and I know your office hears this as well, is my insurance going to cover this, or my insurance doesn't cover this procedure? Why is it necessary? Why do I have to do what my insurance company is saying is not accurate for me? And it really becomes very frustrating. And I hope that we can help our patients to understand that dental insurance is really, it's just an add-on, and it's not really designed to help you stay preventative in your dental care, nor to be proactive. It's actually designed to be more of a reactive system. You get a cavity, you go in, and you get a silver filling. Now, anyone who has Google available at their fingertips can Google amalgam mercury fillings, and it doesn't take but about 2 seconds to figure out mercury in your mouth. Not such a good thing to have there. However, that's what your dental insurance company is going to ask your dentist to put into your mouth to replace the cavity that you have. Fortunately, there are dentists such as yourself, and I love working with your office. You are dedicated and committed beyond the norm to making certain that everything you place in your patient's mouth is not only the best it can be, but is healthy for them as well. Dental insurance is also generated by something called usual, customary, and reasonable, or most of us know that as UCR, average dental care. So as a patient, I ask, do you really want to walk around with just average dental care in your mouth? And so I encourage you to work with your dentist to have them develop a long-term treatment plan. One of the things, Randy, that you do at your office so beautifully is you help plan a patient's dental future. I actually come from Austin, Texas to your office as my dentist. I love you dearly. I love your team. But I do that because you plan that out. And if I have dental insurance, I'm not going to allow that to dictate what I choose to do.
Sure.
Because I feel as a dentist, you have the most knowledge and skill in what is best for me. And an insurance company, while they're there to process benefits, they're actually not going to be the best person to help me plan to keep my teeth a lifetime.
Okay. You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show, and that is my guest, Angela Ward, who's a dental consultant from Austin, Texas, and she's talking to us about dental insurance. Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here a minute, okay?
All right.
And this is going to be rapid fire, and I want to go boom, boom, boom. Let's get information out. I am the patient, all right?
Hello, patient.
You are the dentist.
Okay.
And I come to you, and I sit in the chair, and you tell me I need two fillings and a crown. And so you tell me, okay, Randy, you need two fillings and a crown. And I will then say, hey, I have dental insurance. It should pay for that. What do you say?
I'm going to say that I will definitely be happy to assist you in finding, or my team will. But at this moment, my question to you is going to be more directly related to you personally. Do you want to keep the teeth that you have right now?
Well, of course. That's why I'm here, so that you can fix them. But I have dental insurance. How much is it going to pay?
You know, that's the magic secret question. And I'm sure that most of us have tried to figure that out, but have not been successful. Because the biggest part is, we don't know if they're going to pay at all.
So what you're saying is, coming out of character here for just a second, and this is what Angela is alluding to, and this is what we deal with all day long. In the olden days, a dental office could pick up the phone, we could call your insurance company and say, hey, I have Randy Shoup sitting in my chair, and he needs X, Y, and Z done. Here are the fees. How much are you going to pay? In today's world, with HIPAA and a bunch of the restrictions, the dental office picks up the phone, calls the insurance company, says, I have Randy Shoup in the chair. He's going to have X, Y, and Z done. How much will you pay? They will not tell the dental office.
And actually, they won't tell anyone. And the very first phrase that you hear on a dental insurance recording is, this is not a guarantee of payment. I really want to help your listeners understand, having dental insurance does not give you a golden ticket to healthy mouth. It just simply means you have an opportunity to utilize some small portion, perhaps, of some benefits, but it's not a guarantee of payment.
Wait. Devil's advocate again.
Yes.
Are you telling me my insurance company isn't interested in keeping me healthy?
Well, I can tell you that your insurance company is going to be driven to keep you average. Honestly, someone who says to me, put amalgam in your mouth, I mean, you decide, is that really someone looking out for your best interest in the health of your mouth as well as the health of your life?
You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show, and I'm bringing you this absolutely essential information from Angela Ward, a consultant who goes across the country helping dental offices develop systems that lets them deliver absolutely phenomenal care. And she's helping people understand about dental insurance. What you've alluded to about silver fillings, we get this at the dental office all the time because I've not placed a silver filling in 35 years.
Thank you.
But it's not a problem. And I never liked them. They do bad things to teeth, and despite the they're terrible anyway. And so I've always placed tooth colored fillings, and for years, and even to this day, 30 years after, the insurance company will send us back a notification that says, we're not going to pay for the tooth colored filling that you put in, Dr. Shoup. What we are going to do is we're going to pay for a substitute, a silver filling. The insurance companies say it's our right to do that because we have the right in our contract to pay for the least, and this is actually the verbiage, least expensive, acceptable alternative treatment. It's legalese, but what it says is the insurance company has the right to pay for the cheapest possible fix that is still within the realms of being minimally acceptable and not pay for what you had done. So I'm sitting in the chair expecting them to pay for my tooth-colored fillings, and they won't, will they?
They do not. As a general rule, they won't, especially in the posterior and the back of your mouth. They're not going to do that. And so, again, this goes back to the whole point of our conversation here. They're not your friend. They're there in business. They are there to generate a revenue. They're there to generate a profit. Unfortunately, I don't believe anywhere in their contract they are committed to keeping you healthy. And so people have dental insurance. I want to help you utilize that to the best of our ability. But when it comes down to planning what goes into your mouth, what you're going to have placed there that is going to be permanent and long lasting, the dentist and his team are going to be the best qualified people to choose what's going to be there for you.
All right. Now we have a couple of minutes here. And okay. So here's what I want to do. I want you to be the patient. And I want you as a patient to go into a dental office and I want you to tell us and my listeners, what are the first two or three things that your spidey senses tell you, okay, that lets you know I'm in an office that is interested in my health, I'm in an office that is interested in my long-term well-being, or am I in an office that simply will do what the insurance company says, whether it's in my best interest or not? You're the patient. You walk in. What do you look for?
My radar screen goes up as soon as I walk in the door. Of course, the first evidence is going to be my phone call with your office team members. Whoever answers the phone, how do they present themselves? Sometimes that even goes further back to how do they advertise? If I'm actually looking for advertisements and things like that. But when you walk into a dental practice or when you talk to a patient, a receptionist on the phone, how are you addressed? What types of questions do they ask you? Are they asking you more clinical questions? When was the last time you had your cleaning? What kind of x-rays have you had? Who was your last dentist? Those are clinical questions. They're really not relationship-based questions. I want to find offices that are relationship-based. If I'm in a relationship with you, I'm going to have a better level of trust with you. I'm going to lend myself to believe more of what you say, and I know that you're going to help me plan things long-term. The next thing that I'm going to look at is, where's my dentist? You know, in a dental class of 1,200, the very top dentist is going to graduate with all A's, you know, 99% credits there. The last dentist that's going to graduate, he graduates maybe with a C average, right?
Right.
But he's still called dentist.
Yes.
So both of them are dentists. They both walk out of there with the same title. It's what they do after that makes the difference for me. What kind of education do you go to? What kind of education does your team go to? Where do you invest?
And you literally need to ask the office these questions. They're not going to volunteer.
No.
You can say, tell me about, there's a variety of different continuing education things that dentists can do, and they get little letters behind their name.
And tell me about your dentist. If a team member can't tell me about the dentist, and not just the dentist and oh, he's a wonderful man and he's great at the chair and you're not going to feel any pain, I want to know about his credentials. I want to see things on the wall that show me that he's current in his education, that he's following the trends and the technologies that are available, and that he's also doing the same thing with his team. I also, the third thing, when you're asking for three things, I want someone who's going to sit down with me and be my partner in this. I want to know, I want him or her to know, hey, this is what's going on in my life. This is how quality dental care looks to me. You know, there's so many different opportunities we have these days to restore teeth. It's a fabulous, the array that we have. Veneers may be what I want, but maybe today's not the day for me to have them. But long term, whatever choices we make today can lay the foundation for what I'm looking for in the future. Those three items right there help me to determine who I'm going to set as my dental home. And I'm looking to plant roots, not move around with an insurance company, because we all know they change every year, the beginning of the year, and I'm not going to want to move around every time some third party decides that I need to change dentists.
Outstanding. That's Angela Ward. She's a consultant out of Austin, Texas, and she's here as our guest telling us about dental insurance. The other thing I'll add, first thing she said is, go into the office, look around, and get a feel for the office team and the staff. Ask the office staff about the credentials of the dentist, and number three, make sure they sit down with you and talk about your long-term health and your long-term goals before they throw you into a chair and start doing an exam. Do those three things. And I'll add a fourth. If you're the patient, you call a dental office and the dental office answers the phone, Dr. So-and-so's office, how can I help you? I'm a new patient. I'd like to make an appointment. Great. We'd love to have you. What dental insurance do you have? If that's the first question the dental office has out of their mouth to you, the patient, if you want a relationship-based practice, would you go there, Angela?
Say thank you so much and hang up the phone.
Move on down the
line. And again, referrals are wonderful ways to find dental homes. Talk to your family, talk to your friends, people that have invested in their dental care, find out where they go and do your research that way.
Well, it has been an absolute delight. It has been an honor and a treat to have you here in studio with me. Thank you very much. You're delightful.
Thank you.
She's a world of information, and she will have her back talking about more of the interesting and cool things that she does for dental practices. So until I see you again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.